The 2018 World Blind Match Racing Championships are being held at the Royal Northern and Clyde Yacht Club in Helensburgh, Scotland. This will bring together some of the top blind sailors from across the globe to compete for medals, trophies, and bragging rights to be world champions. To learn more about the event, I went along to the Rue Marina to speak to some of the event organisers and some of the sailors. Craig McDonald is the chairman in charge of organising this year's event, and I asked him to explain a little bit more about how it works.
This is a type of sailing where it is one team versus another team, so only two boats on the race course, shall we say, at one time. So one team against another, and they're trying to make it around that race course as quickly as possible. But the challenge here is that with visually impaired and blind competitors, they might not be able to see the boys on the race course that need to get round. So the boys make noises, and of course we don't want the boats hitting each other. So the boats make noises too. And the blind sailors are able to locate the boats, able to locate the boys through the use of these audio cues.
So how do you go about organising a world championship?
This is the first time that we've hosted a match racing event for visually impaired competitors, but we've lots of experience in running different types of sailing events, whether that's match racing or other types of sailing. But we're fairly unique in as much as we have 9 identical sonar keelboats. Sonar keelboats are very suitable for visually impaired sailors. They're exciting to sail, yet fairly safe. The blind and visually impaired competitors are used to sailing these boats. They sail them in different parts of America and around the world. So it's a former Paralympic boat, so there are lots of them. So we have 9 of these, are half owned by the club, half owned by the members, and these are easy to adapt for the purposes of blind sailing. So we add some machinery that makes noises according to what side of the boat the wind's coming from, and that's really the most difficult adaptation that we need to make to the boat. We've been preparing for this event for nearly a year. We had to prepare a bid of saying, here's what we want to do to run this event, and that when we were awarded the bid by World Sailing. This is a world championship, it's sanctioned by World Sailing, and that also means that we have to have lots of the proper officials in place for running this event. So as well as international teams, we have international officials, judges and umpires coming from America and Ireland, as well as GBR, UK-based umpires. So it's also a team of international classifiers. Classifiers are responsible for ensuring that the ability of the competitors is appropriate. In this case, they assess their blindness level. Of the 15 competitors, there's 3 that need to be reclassified, so they'll be down at an optician's measuring how much they can see or not see, what their fields of vision are. And that's really important because we have to make sure that this event is fair. We have different levels of visual impairment on the boat, but there's a maximum amount of visual impairment that's allowed to be on the boat.
Craig McDonald there, who's the chairman of the 2018 event at the Royal Northern and Clyde Yacht Club. Now, Craig mentioned the audio buoys or audio buoys that the sailors use to navigate. How do they actually work?
There are 2 starting buoys. The port, or left-hand buoy, emits a sound like... The starboard, or right-hand buoy, sounds like... and the upwind or windward mark. As if those sounds were not enough, each racing boat also makes a sound, depending on which tack they're sailing on. Port tack and starboard tack. All the sounds come together as a symphony to guide the sailors around the course. Using this audible information, the sailors not only navigate the race course, but also engage each other in classic match racing style.
So there you go. Easy as that? I don't think so. I've got a headache just trying to fathom out the different sounds myself, so I take my hat off to these guys. We'll speak to some of the sailors a little bit later, but as we mentioned, the Royal Northern and Clyde Yacht Club are hosting. Here's Club Commodore David Witham to tell us more about the event and the format.
We've got 5 teams competing, 2 from the UK, 1 from Canada, 1 from the States, and 1 from Australia. The format of the racing is interesting. The helm is always blind and assisted by two other partially sighted people. And the way they race is around audio marks. They send out a sound signal. So the start gate is two marker buoys. They sail up between the two marker buoys. Those are then turned off, and a further marker buoy to windward, towards where the wind is coming, that's turned on, and they sail around that. Then that's turned off, and they sail back down to the start line and round again, and then to finish. So that's the format of it. With all of the teams, they do what they call a round robin. So they all compete against each other. So each race is around about 15 minutes, and then they swap crews, and another two boats go off for another race, and so it goes on during the day. And we're hoping to have about 10 races on each day until we get to the quarter and semi, and then the finals at the end of the week.
So what makes the Helensburgh area such a great place to host this event?
So we're based by Helensburgh on the Clyde. It's a large expanse of water off Helensburgh, which is very good for sailing. We call it the East Patch. Now in that area, we can set out the marker buoys. We're clear of the channels that shipping might be using or the Royal Navy. We can spend the whole day out there. And with weather conditions like this, beautiful weather, sunny, warm, a reasonable breeze. I think the sailors would like a little bit more than what we have at the moment, just to get a bit more speed up. But this sort of wind is workable, 5 to 8 knots, about 10 miles an hour at the most at the moment.
The club has worked hard to secure the 2018 championships, but where did it all begin?
The Royal Northern was established in 1824, and it joined forces with the Royal Clyde subsequent to that. Now we're known as the Royal Northern and Clyde Yacht Club. We moved to our current premises in the 1930s, but for that, both clubs were based further down the Clyde, and the rich merchants of Glasgow would have their very large yachts with lots of crew, and they'd go out and race midweek or at weekends. We don't have that size of yacht very often these days. They make an appearance occasionally, but these days we have a fleet of boats called sonars, which have a heavy keel so that they stay upright in a blow of wind, but they are really quite sporty, good racing boats. The West Coast is excellent for yachting in general, because with the larger boats you can go off and cruise, and you can leave the boat up in Oban or Mallaig, somewhere like that, and easily get home again. But for the smaller boat sailing in the area here, we've got a very, very good areas for racing up in the Gairloch and out, as I say, on the East Patch.
David Whittam there, who is the club commodore for the Royal Northern and Clyde Yacht Club, who are hosting this year's 2018 World Blind Match Championships. Now, Liz Bayliss is at the event. She's a very successful sailor, and she's been helping coach some of the sailors to get ready for the event.
Yeah, so we had 3 good days on the water with the sailors. So we had 6 boats out, 6 teams, and we're able to work on a lot of the different techniques in the match racing. So getting the teams working together on their boat handling to start with, and the different maneuvering that's involved in both sailing and match racing specifically. And then we were able to run through some starting practice and time and distance and timing and getting all the teams up to speed. And then ran through some races yesterday, and then the wind died, but we did a lot of work in the classroom.
Just when you thought it was all on the water, there's actually some classroom work here, but why?
Some of the teams have been training together quite a bit. For example, the GBR squad, both the teams on the GBR squad, they've had a lot of training weekends pretty much over the last year as they've chosen their squad. But some of the other teams, like the Americans, all come from different parts of the country. You've got the skipper, Walt, from San Francisco. You've got BJ, who comes from Wisconsin. And you've got Brian, who's in Ohio. So they're a little spread out. I think they've only had 1 training session together before they came here. So they were able to come together. So those 3 days for the clinic were very powerful with them and their coach. And then we'll have 2 more practice days. And again, I think the Australian squad, it has 2 Australians who've sailed together for years, and they've picked up their 3rd person as a Canadian sailor who's only sailed with the skipper once before. So again, working on communication and teamwork is huge in match racing, so that's been really powerful for all of them getting ready.
It's fair to say that Liz is a very dedicated and a passionate sailor, but where did that passion for sailing begin?
I got into sailing because my father, Australian father, sailed from Australia to the United States, and so we've been sailing our whole lives. I mean, I'm told I went sailing when I was 3 weeks old, and I've been sailing ever since. So I've worked and played both in sailing. I did an America's Cup campaign the end of last century, so the early 2000 America's Cup in New Zealand. I sailed with a team called America True. And I've also been involved in sailing offshore and match racing. It's kind of funny, I sail shorthanded offshore, you know, 2,000 miles at a time, and then I love the short, intense racing and match racing. I was fortunate enough to win the World Championships, Women's Match Race World Championships in 2002, and for me, match racing's been a passion, so I love sharing it with anyone, whether it's sharing it with the youth sailors, women sailors, the blind sailors. It's, to me, it's all the same. I love teaching, and I love getting the students and the sailors working on these aha moments and breaking through and coming back with big smiles on their face. And that sort of just makes my day. The blind sailors in particular are great fun to work with because the match racing is so empowering for them because they don't have any sighted people on board. And so it's really freedom. It would be like, you know, giving somebody the keys to the car. So instead, we give them the keys to the boat, and they're able to go off on their own without any sighted guide. So it's really like without any parental control and going out and having some fun.
Liz Bayliss there, who has been coaching the teams as they set out on the water to compete in the 2018 World Blind Match Racing Championships. Now over to the sailors. Let's find out a little bit about some of them and why they love the sport so much. Here's Laura Camage.
I actually didn't start in blind sailing. I started just through It was actually through a school interview for choosing subjects. Someone suggested that they knew a group down south in Windermere in the Lake District. And it was just a sort of outdoor activity kind of group. Did some sailing with them. They had a voyage round Arran, Largs to Largs, in 2005. And from there, I pretty much was like, I love sailing. And within a matter of weeks, I was learning to dinghy sail at my local club up in Glasgow, Bardowie Loch, with Clyde Cruising Club. From there, like within only a couple of months after that, managed to get on a few dinghies for racing and learnt the following year how to race properly. And then I did some other big boat stuff and through my gap year. And then in 2010, I started racing with British Blind Sailing and then started my first Worlds in 2015, where we got silver. And then last year, we competed at the same event for fleet racing and got some gold for that one. But match racing was my first ever match race was 2 years ago at the last edition of this competition, where I was actually sailing with Canada, and that's where the sort of match racing side kind of kicked off and came home and was like, I definitely want to do match racing and talk to some of the guys here.
So we're talking about visually impaired sailing here, but can you join a mainstream club to learn?
My experience was pretty good. They were very inclusive. Like, just, I didn't actually have anything to do with the disability or para side of it for like at least 3 years. Although I was 14, 15, I was kind of just about to come out of junior sailing, so I actually ended up in an adult sailing class, because I had already some experience from the yachting that I'd done. Joined in with the main race training class and, yeah, just got a little bit more guidance as to where the marks might be roughly in the bit of water we were sailing in. Or rather than hand signals, they would maybe come over and say something to me. But yeah, generally it's like been really good. And then joining Royal Northern and Clyde Yacht Club last year, I was actually out racing with them in Swanica, Long Island, for a team racing event, and helped do tactics and mainsail for that, which was quite cool.
Well, Laura's obviously enjoyed the medals, the trophies and the travel. How would she encourage others to get involved?
Come along to somewhere local or any events that are on. Get in contact with either like clubs, governing bodies, there's lots of options, whether it's fun sort of cruising around non-competitive side of it, and then there's the competitive side, particularly in blind sailing for fleet racing or match racing. And then out with that, there's the team racing and multiple. So you can have anything from two-boat team racing through to like four boats trying to race four boats, and all the different levels that go with that, and really friendly and inclusive.
Laura Camage there, who will be competing with Team GB in this year's World Blind Match Racing Championships in Scotland. Now, teams come from across the globe, including the USA, and Walt Ranieri is this year's skipper. Now, as we heard, there are different categories for sailors depending on their sight condition. I wanted to learn a little bit more about Walt.
So it's been now about 14 years that I've been blind. I lost my vision due to a rare eye disease called retinitis pigmentosa, and a rare manifestation of it was that I lost about 95% of my vision in about 5 months. That was a real tough summer for me. You look right at something and it disappears, which was challenging. That first couple of years was pretty tough. And what I found is that you become very sedentary, and your listeners, they know exactly what I mean. When it's scary to go out, and you could fall off curbs and hit things, and there are poles, and it doesn't matter how much training you have, there's almost a sense of fear of the outside. And I found that the walls began collapsing in on me. And I found this organization, it's the Lighthouse for the Blind in San Francisco, where I'm from, and they had a sailing program, kind of a pilot, and I went out to check things out, and first thing happens is I get on the boat and the captain of the boat says, take the helm and you're going to take her out of the harbor. And for now 2 years, I had been pulled and pushed and told what to do, as my vision was now almost nothing. And I kept waiting for someone to take over so that I would just sit on the boat. And that's not how this works. It's very much a hands-on thing. And so I was given the opportunity to take over the helm and steer the boat out of the harbor with a little right here and left there. And that gave me a sense of freedom that I hadn't experienced in quite some time. And what I found from that experience is that getting out into nature and moving at the speed of nature helps me push the walls back. And all your sighted listeners, you just look at the wall and it just goes back. But for your visually impaired listeners, and I know you know this, it feels like things are caving in on you. You have to get out there, outside, into nature, do things at the speed of nature to make you feel like you're connecting with the rest of the human race. And that's what sailing did for me. It gave me that sense of reconnection and that opportunity to push the walls back.
As Walt explains, he went from being fully sighted to losing his sight, and that was a very traumatic time for him. But was there a turning point?
One of the big moments in my life after going blind was I'd gone through the mobility instruction. The instruction is as good as it is, but it's not perfect. So one day I was walking across a crosswalk and my cane missed the rock in the road, but my foot did not. And when I stepped on it, I sprained my ankle, tripped, fell, and was lying flat on the ground in the middle of the street. And then the light changed and the car started moving back and forth. And I was sitting there asking myself, is this it? Is this the rest of your life? Practice, train, do everything right, and you still end up face down in the middle of the street. And we all have these moments, these temporary moments of little spikes of depression where you think about the future of your life. And then if there's something bad going on at the moment, you extrapolate that into the future. And then you accelerate everything back on you and you feel like the weight of the world is on your shoulders. And it was right then the little voice in my head spoke to me. We all have the voice that speaks to us when we're in these moments of difficulty, and mine said, get up, keep moving. Because the whole idea of being a human on this planet is to get up and keep moving. If you become too sedentary, all sorts of bad things happen, physiologically, mentally, sociologically, a lot of bad things happen if you just sit. And so I got up, and it was right then, that second, that I realized that I needed to stop being a poorly functioning sighted person and start be a highly functioning blind person. And right then, right there, everything started to get easier. And I began to feel like these moments of difficulty are like raindrops. It rains a lot in Scotland, by the way. And imagine all the raindrops that'll ever fall on you your entire life. What is that? 50 meters worth of rain? And if you think about 50 meters of rain falling on you at any one moment in time, well, that would wipe you out. But the good news is that when bad things happen, when things get difficult, know it's in your heart that they're hitting you one raindrop at a time. It's not 50 meters at a time, it's one raindrop. And you can handle one raindrop. And from there, it's so much easier just to keep moving forward. And so from that moment, things got easier and easier and easier because I didn't try to do things the old way. I learned new ways to do things. I do things now better blind than I did when I was sighted. I read better now blind than I did when I was sighted because I can read a 250-page book in 2.5 hours. On the flight over here from the United States, I read 2 books on the plane, and most sighted people can't do that, but it's because we can speed up the text. So what I found about that empowering moment was getting up, keep moving. It got me into all sorts of sports, from Paralympic-level Nordic skiing to Paralympic-level rowing in the four, which is the sweep rowing technique, to kayak racing in a double, to canoe racing, to tandem cycling, including sailing at its highest level.
Well, he certainly built up the confidence and the drive and the determination. But what's it like getting on board a craft and taking charge?
It's a little scary to first walk out onto the dock in a foreign place, because one of your biggest questions is, don't fall in the water, don't fall in the water. And you're finally let out to your boat, you get on the boat, even if it's the same style of boat, the controls, the lines are a little different. Where the fittings are a little bit different. And so one of the first things as a blind sailor you do is you get on the boat and you start feeling around, just like you would in a hotel room that you check into, that you would feel around the room. Where's the desk? Where's the bed? Where's the loo? Where's the window? And with that knowledge, you then begin the process of understanding how the boat's controls are situated, how you can gain access to them. And then the idea of going out on the water, that's, again, a little bit scary. I mean, I'm the skipper of Team USA, and that means I turn the boat right or left. And how do I know when to do that? And how do I know I'm not going to hit something? There's tremendous anxiety within me in the beginning of my sailing career. And what we do with match racing is we sail around buoys that make noise. There's a left buoy, a right buoy, and an upwind buoy. And when they're all making noise, I can tell where I am on the course. I can steer to them, steer around them, I can do circles around them. And it's all a function of getting comfortable with the mental geometry of where the course is in your mind, where the wind's coming from, how the boat is feeling. And this is all a matter of experience. Every time you're out on the water, you get a little bit more, a little bit more, a little bit more experience. And we're sailing on 7-meter sonars that are great boats for blind sailors, because when we're competing in the match racing, it's just 3 blind people on the boat. The coach, a very important person of the team, is taken off the boat. So we navigate around the buoys by listening to them, knowing where the wind is, knowing the course that we have to sail.
So practically, Walt has travelled the world and competed in numerous types of sport. But what does he get from it on, say, an emotional or a psychological level?
Sailing has introduced into my life this opportunity to meet a wonderful group of people that I'll call the blind sailing, and then even the vaster sailing community around the world. Every corner of the planet Earth, there are sailors. And I find that when somebody finds out that I'm a sailor, we instantly have something to talk about. whether it's the local sailing conditions or what kind of boats do you sail on, or, and all of that. That sense of connection is wonderful. That I have the experience to talk with a sailor about sailing is the relevance, because I can tell you some pretty interesting stories that would really keep you riveted to your seat. Or we did collide into some other boat, but it was always their fault. And that sense of connection, the sense of competitiveness, to be able to say that you're out sailing and the more experienced teams are really good and could compete pretty fairly with sighted competitors. In fact, oftentimes we do spar with sighted sailors just to get some practice in.
Well, if you are blind or partially sighted and haven't been inspired to get out on the water, Walt has these words of wisdom and encouragement.
One of the biggest things that I'd like to leave your audience with is the idea that sometimes when something seems too hard or too difficult or too challenging or just out of reach, or it's impossible, you think, I'm here to tell you that with a little bit of courage, you can do anything, because nothing is too hard, nothing is too challenging, nothing is out of reach if you learn to adapt. As you lose your vision, or if you've already lost your vision, you might not be able to do it the same way, and it being anything, including sailing. You might not be able to sail the same way as a blind sailor as you could as a sighted sailor, but you could sail just about as well with some fairly simple adaptation. And what that does is it creates a sense of confidence. It creates a sense of fulfillment in your life, a wonderful community to connect into. And, you know, what I think is probably the most important thing about it is that sense of connecting as a human being with others. And what a wonderful way to spend an afternoon moving at the speed of nature, making sure that those walls are nowhere near caving in on you.
Walt Ranieri there, who's the skipper for Team USA at this year's World Blind Match Racing Championships. They take place at Helensburgh in Scotland, and we'll keep you up to date on the scores on the doors. We'll let you know who's in the lead, and we'll also bring you the finals as well. Who'll be lifting the medals and who will be lifting the trophies. It all concludes on Friday, the 7th of September, so stay with us here on RNIB Connect Radio.